Welcome to the London Walks podcast. This episode, London Transport, Part 2. In this episode, Andy Hallett will be revealing the secrets of the London busker. But for now, here's Adam.
The London Underground is the oldest underground railway in the world. The oldest, the biggest, the longest. If you're looking for a straightforward statistical superlative punch-up, the London Underground will beat you with one hand tied behind its back. It touches the life of every Londoner, citizen and denizen alike. It gets us there. It gives us an alibi when we're late. Sorry, mate. Bloody tube, no bank trains. It makes us contemplate a work of art every day of our lives when we consult Harry Beck's schematic tube map to plan our journey.
Next station is East Finchley. This train terminates at Kennington by Charing Cross.
We use it to get to our working week and to our Sunday rest. We at London Walks meet our London walkers at its stations. As Londoners, we complain about nothing more vehemently than when we badmouth the London Underground. Not Boris, not the congestion charge, not the weather. When we're in the mood for a gripe, nothing gets our goat as much as the tube. It's the first thing our country cousins take a pop at when complaining about that London. Who are they, croon? You wouldn't transport veal in them conditions. It is, of course, typical of the bumpkin to employ such a bovine analogy. We think and talk of it as one entity, yet it changes vividly. Not just from line to line, but from station to station. The London Underground is typified in the brusque business as usualness of Bank at the heart of the city, all clean lines and functional design. And at the same time, it's the charming teapot lid roof of Clapham Common Station in the south. It's the startling Eduardo Palazzi mosaic at Tottenham Court Road Station. It's the endearingly naff movie film motif in the tiles at Leicester Square. It's Sherlock Holmes puffing his pipe in silhouette on the tiles of Baker Street Station, juxtaposed with the no smoking signs. And it's the words Gillespie wrote on the platform wall of the station that has been called Arsenal since 1932. It's the acrid, burning, yet oddly not unpleasant aroma at Camden Town. What is that smell? And it's the eerie sodium glow of Old Farringdon by night. It's the mice. I love the mice. The mice always make me think of that heartbreaking passage in the story The Town Mouse and the Country Mouse, where the country mouse makes the fateful decision to leave the metropolis. The fool. The poems on the Underground are almost as good as the mice, striking a victory for art by squatting in space where the turd polishers of Charlotte Street are usually peddling something that we don't really need. The train driver announcements punctuate our day. I like the grumpy ones. Recently, my favourite was, to the geezer holding the door open, stop being such a selfish prat. I also enjoy the mechanically jaded ones every bit as much, the ones that are chanted like a Mogadon mantra through the teeth of a midlife crisis. This train terminates at Walthamstow, mind a doll's, please, mind a doll's. It's the elevators that shoot out of the ground like bullets at Hampstead, and the old-fashioned indicator boards at Earl's Court. It's bursting forth into the light at Golders Green, East Finchley and Morden on the Northern Line on the way out of town, and the plunging into the belly of the beast on the way back in at the same stations. It's the Art Deco modernity of the Western Metroland stations and the futuristic sci-fi cathedral that is Canary Wharf. It's the Edwardian gentility of the way out signs at Russell Square, the ornamental flourish of which seems to be trying to reassure us. We are, after all, in a potentially hostile environment, and a little Art Nouveau soothes the soul. The London Underground can be likened to the crowd swarming across London Bridge at rush hour. At first glance, it looks uniform, one amorphous mass. But on closer examination, the mass is made up of unique individuals. The whole is impressive. The sum of its parts is astonishing. Walk is the sound advice given from seasoned Londoners, or get the bus. And both are admirable ways to see this city. But one can ride the bus in Darlington. In fact, I hear it's the only thing one can do there. When in London, my advice, go by tube. For many, it's not just a London thing, it's the London thing.
Mind the gap.
Hello, Ian.
Hey,
hello.
Good to see you.
Oh, good, very good. So this is pitch four.
This is pitch four on the walkway towards the Waterloo and City Line,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. It's quite hard to find you. There's quite a few pitches around here.
Yeah, they've got four pitches here are dotted around. Some are better than others. It's all a matter of personal taste, I suppose. Right. But this one has nice acoustics, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And the footfall is quite good. So those two things are what you're looking for, really.
Right.
Lots of passers-by and a nice sound. People have their favourites. There's one guy who is always, it seems to me, at Canary Wharf in the evenings. But the thing about that is, although it's very, very busy, and it's so huge that you really need to have an amplification.
Right.
So some sites you really do need a microphone and a small amplifier. I like Bond Street, I like Charing Cross, Oxford Circus, Waterloo, there are two or three pitches there. Southwark is a relatively new one that's opened. I like Bank because it's near where I live. It's just a trip down the DLR.
So how long have you been busking on and off?
On and off for about, something like 10 years, and I think, because the scheme started, and I'm number 354, so I'm quite one of the original ones. There are many hundreds.
How many?
I'm not sure. There's at least 1,000. No, because when you phone up the busking hotline to book pitches, it's always engaged on the Tuesday.
Yeah, so tell me, how do you do that then?
They're going to do an electronic email type booking system. They're going to set that up. But in the past, they've had sponsors like Carling and other companies who've actually run it for them. Now they're having TfL to run it themselves, which is really rather a treat that they've set aside staff to do this.
Yeah.
So what you have to do at the moment is phone up on a Tuesday for booking the week, the 2 weeks in advance. So, and you just have to sit on the line and wait for them to get round to
you. And do you have to, do you audition for us?
Yeah, years ago I did audition, and I was joking with my friends that if you fail an audition to be a busker, how bad would you have to be? But luckily they passed, they were very...
Well, actually I think the buskers are brilliant.
Really, yeah.
Incredibly talented.
A wide range as well, yeah. Classical sometimes, opera, accordions, all types of instruments that you could think. So, yeah, and people seem to like it. If they maybe don't, say, drop money in, they'll stop and say thank you or wave smile.
Yeah.
And that's as good as a 10p because you realise they're enjoying it.
Do you pay?
Don't pay. You have the licence, which is in two parts. So once you've booked your pitch on the phone, you go to log in, for safety reasons really, with the supervisor's office, so they know that you're in. So if, right. if the station has to be evacuated, they know to right. check you at the muster area. Right. And then you just go to your pitch. As you can see, they've got laminates marking out the pitches. And you just set up, and some people have music stands or amplifiers, and you just go for roughly 2 hours.
I mean, I think it's just an integral part of the tube now, isn't it? I mean, music. I mean, it's just wonderful, isn't it?
It's a big change. I mean, I remember the times when it was illegal, against the bylaws at least, to busk. And occasionally you can still see an old sign saying busking is prohibited or something like that. But now, as I say, I think it's great that TfL have got behind it. They employ people to actually help run it. And all the station staff are very helpful and friendly. And I think it's a great, great thing.
So once you've got a licence, you're contractually obliged to do a certain number of hours to keep your licence. Is that the case?
Well, that's right. And I think that's quite a good system, because there are so many buskers that if they're not going to regularly use their licence, and it's only 100 hours you have to do in the year of the licence, if they're not going to do it, then they're wasting the opportunity for others. And I believe that there is quite an extensive waiting list, and I don't think they're holding auditions for some time because there are so many. And also that gives you a reminder and an impetus to go busking, which is good, just to keep your repertoire up and keep
your what's the kind of background? I mean, I know you're an actor.
All walks of life. Different walks of life and different nationalities, and you get to see the same faces. Even if you haven't been doing it for a while, you see familiar friends, Romanian accordionists Japanese violin players, and so everyone's got a story to tell, and it's all different.
I mean, your background is a barrister.
I was a barrister for 10 years, and now I still put on costumes and address audiences and make speeches, whether people like it or not, but in a different arena.
Would you get away with an AC/DC t-shirt in...
Not in court, unless I was the defendant, which hopefully won't be the case. We used to have busking marshals coming round who would just check that you were all right. But I'm happy to say I've never had any trouble. No one's ever tried to nick any money from my guitar case or my hat. And without exception, people are friendly if they have a reaction at all. So.
And can it be actually quite lucrative then as well?
Yeah? Well, you have to treat it as a regular work. You can do up to 3 sessions a day. That's very tiring. So you'd really need to do at least 2 sessions, 4 hours a day, pretty much every day, well, at least Monday to Friday, treat it like a proper job. You've of course got to make back your travel, because you don't get entitlement, why should you, to have free travel. And of course there are times like Christmas is coming up, and people have more generosity at that time generally, and they like to hear the Christmas songs, and certain pictures are lucrative, so I believe certain people do make a living out of it, but it's a bit of a struggle to do that.
Brilliant, thank you very much, Ian, that's fantastic. Let's go for a coffee. I'll drop my man some money in first of all, and then we'll go.
Thank you kindly.
The London Walks podcast was compiled, produced and presented by Andy Hallett and Adam Scott Goulding. For details of the full programme of London Walks, London's best guided walking tours, go to www.walks.com. The London Walks podcast was an APB production.